Mystic Buddhism, a talk given by the Venerable Dr. K. Sri Damananda Nayakathera at the University of Malaya.
What is Buddhism is the subject that we are going to discuss today. The Dhamma taught by the Buddha more than 2,500 years ago forms the solid base of Buddhism. There are some people who try to condemn or confuse you, saying that Buddhism is not a religion. Some others say it is only a philosophy. Then again some others say there is no philosophy in Buddhism, but it is only a way of life. Yet others acknowledge it as a religious way of life. However, whatever definition they give in English, I think all of you know that the Buddha did not preach in English. To use the word religion. Now, let us define the meaning of this word, religion. According to the dictionary, some of the definitions are given as belief in God or way of worship or praying to God, obedience to God, binding man to God, practice of sacred rites, recognition of a higher unseen, controlling power or powers with the emotion and morality and monastic life. When we consider about these definitions, there are some with which we can agree and some others which are not acceptable to Buddhism. Therefore, there is no difficulty to introduce Buddhism as a religion. Today, people give more and more new definitions to this word to face the modern challenge to religion. If we can introduce religion as a method or way of life to lead a righteous, noble, or respectable life by maintaining human dignity and intelligence for a peaceful, happy, contented life and to attain final liberation through mental purity, I believe that there won't be a controversy regarding this word. On the other hand, why should we argue on this word created by man according to his way of thinking to practice a method for our peace and happiness? If the method is correct, useful and effective, and if we can see the result through our own experience without depending on mere belief or imagination, then that is more than enough for us to satisfy in order to practice that method. According to the definitions of philosophy, it is difficult to interpret Buddhism as a mere philosophy because the views expressed by many of those thinkers regarding our life, world, universe, and nature remain as ideas but not as a practical method in our day-to-day life. But the Buddha's teaching is not a philosophy of such nature. It is a practical method philosophized by the Buddha through his wisdom and analytical knowledge. Therefore, Only certain aspects of his teaching can be regarded as philosophy. The Buddha's doctrine of analysis is not based on views or theories, but through understanding and his own experience. On the other hand, many of those views given by different philosophers contradict each other. In their philosophy, it is hard to find an all-embracing goodwill and compassion, but mere intellect. The Buddha's doctrine is not a dry philosophy just for people to talk about. Western scholars try to introduce Buddhism as a way of life, since the concept of God is insignificant in the Buddha's teaching. But this interpretation is insufficient to convey the dispensation or the message disseminated by the Buddha. Buddhism is a righteous way of life for man to do good, to be good, to lead a happy life without depending on external powers to find peace or calmness and tranquility. No matter under what title people used to name this religion, the Buddha Dhamma remains as absolute truth. Let me start from the beginning to explain as to how we are going to build up a practical Buddhist way of life. It is not easy for us to turn our normal way of life overnight to a religious life. The Buddhist way of life is a gradual development. That is why many people, mostly young people and children, pay more attention toward the cultural aspect to practice a religion. Cultural practices influence human mind to appreciate and promote a religion. Although religious rites, rituals, and ceremonies are condemned by intellectuals, such practices are important to develop and maintain the devotional aspect and to create inspiration amongst the masses who are not advanced in intellectual understanding in the deep aspect of Buddhism. We know that some illustrations, amusements, and entertainments are important to many, especially young people, to understand certain aspects of Buddhism according to their understanding capacity, age, and education. Through such practices, it is easy to introduce moral lessons. Certain performances which depict the Buddhist stories can create inspiration in the young mind. But after learning the Dhamma, it is not necessary to cling to them to lead a Buddhist way of life. In the devotional practices, there are various methods to cultivate dedication and concentration. Without cultivating devotion in the mind, many people do not know how to appreciate and experience the value of a religion. If there is no devotional aspect in Buddhism, people may develop some other kind of belief which are more superstitious or end up in blind faith. There must be some sort of harmless or reasonable practices for people to uphold to avoid this situation. Otherwise, Buddhism can become a very boring subject to many people, or else people may regard this like an ordinary subject that they have studied in the school without developing devotion and respect. So, it is difficult to practice a religion without devotion because human beings must have something to satisfy their emotions. Hymn singing, chanting, doing some offerings with devotion and religious festivals are some of the important practices to make religion to be a living religion. That is why in Asian countries, cultures have become part and parcel of their life. However, devotion and culture also can become shaky unless they develop confidence through proper understanding, because changes in human emotion can take place through the influence of some other sources. Intellectual consideration is another aspect to value the teaching of the Buddha and the Buddhist practices. By using our human intelligence, we analyze his teaching and reason out to justify the Buddhist concept and realize the truth to gain confidence. The confidence that we gain through this understanding is more stable than the faith. Through this intellect, we try to gain proper understanding of our life, the nature of the worldly condition, and phenomena. Buddhism contributes more than enough doctrine, philosophy, and psychology to have proper understanding of our life and to adjust our way of life to live peacefully. Then we can appreciate the nature of the Buddha's wisdom or enlightenment and the value of the truth as expounded by the Buddha at the Dhamma. But this knowledge or intellectual aspect does not purify the mind for us to be perfect, because perfection is the most difficult and the ultimate achievement in our life. The knowledge of the Dhamma itself does not train the mind to cultivate great humane qualities, mental discipline, and purity. Therefore, cultivation of spiritual aspect is the last step in order to experience the unchangeable and ultimate achievement in the Buddhist way of life. This spiritual aspect is nothing but mental culture. The realization of absolute truth will be gained through mental purification. When we have achieved this purity, important virtues such as honesty, selfless service, kindness, understanding, patience, tolerance will prevail in the mind to lead a noble life. Then the concept of self has no place in that mind. The mind becomes very bright and a dynamic force which can be directed for any good purpose to experience peace and happiness, and also to do some service to others without having any ulterior motive. So, the ultimate aim of Buddhist way of life is not to gain sensual pleasure or heaven, but to develop the mind to its climax until it gains its complete purity and perfection. That is called the final goal in our life. Otherwise, life has no ultimate aim. At the moment, whether we are good or bad, in a worldly sense, all of us have an intrinsic, hidden animal nature, human nature, and divine nature. In our behavior, to satisfy our worldly needs, we adopt some attitude according to one of these natures. If our minds were not properly trained and guided according to our religious discipline, very often we use animal nature. According to anthropology also, we can understand as to how humans maintain animal instinct within them. Although evolution of the physical structure has been changed, the mental current of certain habits and behavior patterns continue and still remain. Some of them remain subdued.
Yet,
human emotion and craving arouse them and influence the mind to flare up according to circumstances. Religion is important to subdue this animal nature. Human beings have a mind to think or to reason out. In that mind, there is human intelligence. When the mind is deluded by illusion, it is difficult to use the human mind properly. That is why religion has to play an important role to develop this mind, to understand things clearly and to cultivate human qualities so as to lead a gentle life. Simply by praying to supernatural powers, no one can develop divine nature without cultivating virtues in human life. Divine nature is the refined human mind to lead a noble life. This is called the sublime state of the mind. Some others may introduce it as a divine state. But from the Buddhist point of view, there is no external divine inspiration to influence the mind to be normal. It is only development of the mind after eradication of hatred, jealousy, and selfishness. At that stage, mind radiates more goodwill or friendship, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, or an unbiased mind without any discrimination. As human beings, we must know how to cultivate our way of life to the highest level by upholding all the good humane qualities and eradicating human weaknesses. That is the highest achievement in our life. This is the way the Buddha has advocated, the Buddhist way of life. But some others may say, it is not necessary for people to eradicate all their human weaknesses or to cultivate all the virtues or the purity of the mind in order to gain salvation. Be faithful to God and pray to Him. If people develop this faith, all their sins will be forgiven, and after their death, there is nothing for them to worry about with regard to their future life, because God will send their soul to heaven for eternal rest. To them, that is the ultimate goal in life. This kind of belief or concept, which some people try to introduce as religious way of life, is not acceptable to Buddhism, because Buddhism teaches that real religious way of life is based on moral development and mental training, and not through belief in God or praying or worshipping. Mere belief in the Buddha, or paying homage, or doing some offering to the Buddha, are insufficient to be a good Buddhist. People can contribute a great deal for peaceful coexistence and to maintain confidence and happiness by leading a respectable life, by developing their goodwill, compassion, harmony and understanding. The duty of a religion is to train human mind to achieve this end, and also to guide humanity for the spiritual development which is more superior to any kind of worldly gain. Life without spiritual development is uncertain and not beneficial to ourselves and to others as well. All our worldly problems are caused by worldly-minded, selfish people. Those who try to introduce their religion as a way of life by concentrating more on worldly material development, thinking that everything that is related to man's life as a religious way of life merely mixes up worldly life and religious life. Later, religion may lose its original identity and its main purpose, or else man becomes a slave in the name of religion and abuses his human dignity. Buddhism says, for worldly material gain, there is one method, but for spiritual development, there is another method. Therefore, we should not regard material gain as religious development. At the same time, we should not practice our religion in such a way that will hinder material growth. The duty of a religion is to guide mankind to achieve their material gain without in any way violating the peace and happiness of others. Another practical method to start Buddhist way of life is by cultivating dana, sila and bhava, by practicing charity or sacrificing something for the welfare of others in order to reduce selfish desire or greed, upholding morality for self-discipline by leading a harmless and respectable life, and training the five senses not to become slaves to them in order to indulge in the sense pleasure. This kind of discipline trains one's own mind and at the same time allow others also to live peacefully. Develop mental culture to control mental purity in order to maintain peace and happiness. When these three stages are completed, a person can become a perfect religious man. The Buddha described this Buddhist way of life in a practical way. Mere belief in anything is not Buddhism. At the same time, the Buddha did not impose any religious laws or commandments for people just to obey, nor did he introduce a code of religious punishment for those who violate religious principles. He never condemned or cursed anybody who did not agree to follow his advice. His way of teaching is not to create temptation in man's mind by talking about paradise as a reward for a religious life. Nor did he create fear in the people's mind by talking about hellfire for those who did not accept his teaching. Instead, he advised people to practice his teaching by realizing the value of good conduct and to give up evil practices by knowing the danger of the bad effect with which we are all concerned. The basic pillars of Buddhism are sila, samadhi, and panya, that is, morality, concentration, and realization or wisdom. It is impossible to cultivate the Buddhist way of life and experience peace, calm, and happiness without developing these three basic principles. The whole teaching of the Buddha is based on these three pillars. The Dhamma taught by the Buddha for 45 years was recorded by his disciples and named as Tripitaka, which was divided into three sections, Sutra, Vinaya, and Abhidhamma. Conventional or simple teaching consisting all the important advice to lead a noble life is called Sutra. Disciplinary code for those who have renounced the worldly life to lead a pure monastic life is called Vinaya. Moral psychology or analytical explanation of the mind and the element is called Abhidhamma. But all these teachings are nothing but analysis of sila, morality, samadhi, concentration, and panya, wisdom or realization. However, wisdom is not knowledge. In our book knowledge or academic knowledge, there is no wisdom. Wisdom arises through mental development. It is the realization of every existing thing in its proper perspective through penetrative knowledge. We can achieve this wisdom only by harnessing the purified mental energy. That is why meditation is very important to develop the mind to gain this wisdom. When proper realization appears, mind becomes an unshakable dynamic force. This cultivated and strengthened mind can face any human problem or worldly condition. It will never create anxieties, worries, and miseries, and can understand the cause of natural occurrences without allowing the mind to generate fear or hatred. This mind, with wisdom, is free from mental illusion or hallucination. However, it is not easy to gain this kind of higher wisdom unless proper mental training or purification is achieved. We can use our knowledge and understanding to face many of our human problems and also to overcome them. Even then, worldly knowledge alone does not give us a permanent solution to stop our worldly problems. Buddhism is a liberal religion in that it guides us to lead a normal life without suffering in the name of religion, by not becoming slaves to sense pleasure, nor by becoming slaves to any supernatural power, but by cultivating human dignity, virtue, and intelligence until super wisdom is gained. Buddhism also does not encourage people to depend on supernatural or miraculous powers for a spiritual development. Whatever people believe as miraculous power and mystical power never give us wisdom or mental purity. The Buddha did not want us to follow the same age-old traditional belief based on mythology introduced by the primitive people as a religious way of life. He, however, expounded a rational and a noble way of life as a religion for people to practice without abusing human intelligence and experience the result within this life and hereafter. The Buddha's approach to the problem of human suffering is essentially empirical and experimental and not speculative and metaphysical. The Buddhist way of life is reasonable and practical at any time, in any society and in any country, which does not create any discrimination or disturbances with the followers of other religions. Buddhism is the direct result of a most intensive research voluntarily conducted over a long period of time by most kind-hearted noble prince who imbued with infinite love and deep compassion for suffering humanity. It should best be described as a psychology, or even more appropriately, a mental therapy. From the Buddhist point of view, religion is not something that has come down from heaven to fulfill a divine purpose, but something that has grown up on earth to satisfy the deeper of human needs, peace and happiness. It is not dependent on mere faith, but on the understanding of experience through use of human intelligence or supreme wisdom. Buddhism is a gradual path of mental evolution which ultimately leads to perfection or liberation. Buddhism says, the suffering that we experience is nothing but a clash between our selfish desire and worldly conditions or reality. One who knows how to train his mind can overcome this problem. Buddhism is not something to experience good results only in our next life, but to gain satisfaction while we are here. It is not a kind of escapist asceticism, but a down-to-earth reality. Religious life only can be established when man is ready to accept responsibilities for himself another, but not through the belief or reward or punishment. According to the Buddha, man is capable of rising above all human weaknesses by cultivating a divine mind through his own effort. The Buddha is not regarded as a savior in the same sense normally believed by others. Buddhists regard him as a savior since he has shown the path for man to save himself. The destiny of man is not determined by the whim of a supreme being, but by the result arising out of his thought, word, and action. According to Buddhism, our existence does not begin with this human life, nor does it end with this life in eternal heaven or hell thereafter, but has been evolving since the beginning of time in countless numbers of various existences according to our accumulated karma or cause and effect. This will continue until the whole process is understood and gradually brought to a standstill. That is the final goal. Nibbana, taught in Buddhism as the ultimate bliss, is not a mystical bliss, but a rather perfect sanity which goes beyond the normal sanity defined in a worldly sense. If we can understand ourselves, we can easily understand what Buddhism is. You may go round the world in searching of Buddhism, but eventually you have to concentrate and reflect on yourself to understand Buddhism. This is the method prescribed by the Buddha as meditation. Real Buddhists do not worry about circumstances here or hereafter, but only concern themselves about their mental state here and now. If you look after the present state of mind, the future will look after itself. In the Buddha's teaching, there is nothing that could be pointed out as being out of date, since modern scientific discoveries do not contend with Buddhism. This religion does not condemn other religions as sinners, but respect the other religious teachers. According to Buddhism, forgiveness of sins by a supernatural being is not justified. It, however, teaches us how to overcome the effect of certain evil deeds that we have committed. This we achieve by doing more and more meritorious deeds, but not by merely praying to anybody. This is a religion for people to practice according to their own conviction and understanding, and not because of fear or eternal hellfire. Buddhism teaches that both enjoyment and suffering are temporary but not eternal. According to the Buddha, the present life is not the first and the last. The life process continues so long as craving for existence prevails in the mind. And this craving, in turn, accumulates good and bad karmic forces in the mind. Hence, existence takes place again due to these same forces. The summary of the Buddha's teaching is mentioned in brief and in simple language. Do not do evil deeds, do good, purify the mind. This is the message of every Buddha. When we consider this simple yet noble message, we can understand the real meaning of Buddhism. Is there any sane person in this world who can say that something is wrong in this religion? Whatever we believe, according to our way of thinking and practice in the name of Buddhism, this is the way the Buddha had advised us to practice this religion. The Buddha appear in this world from time to time, but all the enlightened Buddha convey the same message. The Buddhas have no different message. This message is not a divine message, but a sublime message. Through this noble message, we understand how to mold our life to be perfect. We must understand that there are five religious principles for lay people to observe in their daily life. This means doing their normal work or household duties without violating these five religious principles. They have to cultivate their way of life. They are abstaining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, telling lies, and taking intoxicating drinks and drugs. However, evil deeds are not confined only to these five items. There are many others, but it is better to try not to violate these five moral principles for a beginning, because this religious way of life is a gradual development. Peace and security can be maintained by upholding these religious principles. The main purpose of the observance of this moral code is to cultivate humane qualities and development of certain virtues such as kindness, honesty, and proper understanding, but not because of the fear of punishment. If people uphold these precepts only by thinking of the punishment, there is no sympathetic feeling or understanding in their minds. Buddhism encourages people to observe these precepts with such understanding. Then they cultivate moral development without maintaining selfish ideas of punishment. That is the real meaning of the Buddha's saying not to do evil. As human beings, it is our duty to do some service to others. We render our service through generosity, kindness, by giving our helping hand to others who need our support to get rid of their grievances, worries, and many other problems. By doing some service to others, we also reduce our selfishness. On the other hand, if we develop some ulterior motive to gain something in return, such as reward for our services, then again we develop selfishness. So the real Buddhist concept of not to do evil and to do good are not based on punishment and reward, but to reduce selfish ideas.
Although we have cultivated our mind to avoid evil and to do good, our minds are still not completely purified. Under certain circumstances, our hidden greed, anger, and illusion can be agitated and influence the mind to commit some bad deeds. Therefore, we have to purify our mind by eradicating such mental impurities in order to be perfect. This is the way to reach the final goal.
Clear understanding of Four Noble Truths is the most significant feature in Buddhism, namely, realizations of the nature of suffering, cause of suffering, freedom of suffering, and the method to practice in order to achieve full freedom.